Folks, good evening and welcome to tonight's City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph D'Antino.
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Greg Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollock.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
We have a full house tonight, isn't that exciting?
Frank, are you excited?
We begin each meeting with a pledge of allegiance. I would kindly ask that. I'm not going to ask Frank. I don't think he knows the words. I'm going to ask Mr. Martins and his team, along with Mr. Van Gescom from the Water Department, to please lead us.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, folks. And before we jump to item three, special items and presentations, there's also a special item taking place tonight in approximately 30 minutes or so. Some of you may or may not be aware, but one of our longtime police officers, Officer Kastner, his son Matt, returns home from the war tonight. And there is a escort being provided not only from O'Hare Airport to Geneva, and then from a destination in Geneva to his home in, I don't want to say the street. But it'll actually kick off at about 7:30. So if you hear the sirens or hear flashes, that's our very own Matt Kastner returning from extraordinary service. So we wish he and his family all the best. First and foremost, we get to recognize Mr. Van Gescom and his team at the Water Department for an extraordinary award that hopefully all of you read about this past weekend. That is why each and every one of you have a cool and refreshing cup of Geneva's finest water. And anyone else wishing to imbibe, I promise you it's not spiked. Enjoy. But Mr. Van Gescom, do you want to say a few words?
Yes.
And we got a plaque that I want to present that you guys have obviously seen, but I want those in the audience and those at home to also recognize your contributions. Well, we will toast when they're, depending on what they say.
Absolutely. Thank you. You know, this is kind of a nice, very nice award representing all the hard work that's gone into the new water treatment facility. I think that you, Mayor, the City Council, administrators, Dan, should feel a sense of pride for this award because of how involved you were in all the decision-making and all the hard work. The facility could not run, though, without the dedication of Mike Martins, James Childress, and Mike Anderson, who are here tonight, that work at the facility day in and day out. They especially need to be recognized for having worked through the bad days, whether this was during construction or startup or even since the startup. They've taken on the challenge of learning a complex treatment process with professionalism and pride in representing the city of Geneva. The city did not need to invest in hiring a startup manager for 3 to 6 months, which was suggested by us to by the experts in the field and the engineers that designed the facility. Our stance was that we had capable in-house staff that were dedicated and had the community in their best interest. And I think that that is shown through today. These guys have solved problems that educated experts could not figure out. But in my mind, their biggest accomplishment has been since the plant has been online since March of 2008. There has not been a day that the plant has not produced water for the community. Now, I know in some people's minds that may seem unrealistic that we can't provide water to our community, but please understand that this was a completely different facility and a completely different process than what the guys were used to. Dan, myself, and Mike and James and Mike Anderson took a lot of pride in that. And when people tell you, no, you can't do it, guess what? We're going to step up to the table and do it. And there was a lot of, you know, sleepless nights. there were a lot of questions being asked of us, and we had a lot of questions being asked to other people. But it's a very technical operation out there, and I think that the guys especially that are out there day in and day out should take pride in this award, and I think you folks also need to take pride in it. So I hope not only the group that's here today and you folks, but I also hope that our community takes pride in this, and I hope that this is not the last time we win this award by any means. This award has been given to members of King County since 1997, first time that we have won that, and the community should feel very good about that. I also have to say that you know, Randy Miller and his group on the maintenance side of things have also done a very nice job as far as maintaining the distribution system, so our customers are you know, have their best interest in hand, and that the quality of water brought to their homes is what's coming out of the water treatment facility. So with that, I thank you, and I believe that the guys need a definite round of applause, because they're the ones that are day in and day out responsible to bring this water to you. So thank you. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Anybody on the council wish to provide any comments, or Mr. Singer?
I salute you, sir, and your crew.
Thanks for stealing my thunder. Appreciate it. Anyone else over there who hasn't apparently sipped from something else than the water cup today?
Thanks for the olive, Mayor.
You're welcome. Well, gentlemen, ladies, to all of you, we salute you, and on behalf of the community, thank you very much for doing great work.
Thank you.
Top notch.
Delicious.
It's like water.
Now watch them all sneak out as we conduct other business.
That would show their real smarts.
And by all means, feel free to exit if you need to. We understand, so.
He didn't hear that. Let's see him turn it to
Frank, we expect an extraordinary story from you regarding this. So as these guys leave, make sure you interview them.
No plaque present?
Oh, yeah, we have a plaque. I forgot about that. Yes, we have.
And maybe you can bring up the Martins and... Well, maybe you could bring up the gentleman so that they can actually come up and be viewed. Oh, my God.
We're working on that. There's a trophy that goes around.
Water-soluble,
Anthony? No, that would be it. I saw Mike with his time at high school graduation.
Camera's up there, man. Let's look at the cameras. Thanks, it's a field story.
Oh, nice.
Annual Water Taste Test Champion 2009. From all the communities that submitted throughout King County, you guys are determined to have done the best and produce the best quality water for not only our businesses, but our residents. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for all your work.
Appreciate it.
We continue with item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments tonight, ladies and gentlemen? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one sweeping motion.
So moved. Second.
Alderman Dantino makes the motion. Alderman Marks makes the second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Malagra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
All those who are present tonight who had business that was marked with an asterisk, you're more than welcome to sneak out because your business has been approved. So I know you've got a date over the little owl at 7:30, so you can make it. I mean family, for God's sake. Let's see everybody's relax.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Item 10, municipal bills for payment. Mr. Clerk, please read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment, total $893,947.29.
Move approval.
Second.
Wow, Alderman Hill makes the motion to approve. Alderman Flanagan, Alderman Brown left in the dust. That's like the first time ever, I think.
It is.
Wow. Any questions or comments?
10 years.
Let it be noted that these bills will also appear online if they have not already done so.
How much were the bills, Mr. Hill?
$893,947.29.
Thank you.
We have a motion. We have a second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Craig Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ray Pollack.
Aye.
Robert Piper.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously. Thank you very much. Item 11A, consider resolution number 2009-76, adopting amendment to the City of Geneva's personnel policy manual to include the Martin Luther King holiday as a city holiday.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Vogelsberg, seconded by Singer. I will advise the council that I'll reserve an opportunity to make comments if necessary. Otherwise, I'll open it to the floor. Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. Last week I voted against this in light of the current fiscal shortcomings we have in the city. This past week I heard from a number of people throughout town. Everyone agrees that Dr. King should certainly be recognized, but I would like to suggest that we honor Dr. King by celebrating his birthday, but not as a paid holiday. And perhaps next year, if things turn around, we can then certainly entertain that. I'd like to make a motion to that effect.
I'll second that motion.
Amendment offered by Mr. Pollack, seconded by Mr. Singer. We can only now speak to the amendment. The amendment is to recommend that in January of 2010, the Martin Luther King holiday, should it be enacted by the City of Geneva, be enacted as a no-pay holiday. Alderman Vogelsberg, Alderman Maladra.
Thank you, Mayor. It's interesting because I think however we all vote, people respond. And I had exactly the opposite comments from people, that they believed it was the right thing to do to make it a paid holiday. Thank you.
Alderman Maladra.
Well, I don't understand the idea of making it a non-paid holiday until times are good. Are our holidays going to be objective every year like that? Are times good enough for the holiday to be paid this year and then next year we'll take it away? That just doesn't make sense. I think we either do it or we don't do it.
Can I?
Alderman Maladra. You still vote?
Sir?
Get restated. Right, Alderman Pollack?
Well, I was going to. Is there.
City Attorney was just clarifying exactly what the amendment was, and I indicated the amendment was to recognize the holiday, but the holiday not be determined under city's personnel policy as a paid holiday.
The question, Mayor, is the city closed? It's a closed day, so people are. It's basically a furlough day.
I'll defer to
that. That'd be correct, Mr. Radovich.
Anyone else on the dais?
Can I just respond?
Sure.
Craig, the point is simply, this is something we cannot afford to do this year, and to be brought to us last week, I understand. But let's enact the holiday, a full paid holiday, when we can really afford it.
How much does it cost?
Good question.
Yeah, I have no idea. Mary?
Well, I can
whatever the dollar amount is. Look, we've had to limit people's hours. We've had to cut jobs.
No, we haven't.
Just cut hours.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gross cost of enacting a holiday, in particular the Martin Luther King holiday, would be $1,300.
What about the overtime?
That is overtime for our Geneva's finest who wear the blue and patrol the streets.
$1,300.
$1,300. I've got a statement to read that includes that. I'll defer to the council.
How could that be?
Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, our other employees are under either union contracts.
Assuming that they would be called in for a snowstorm.
That's the issue. It was stated before that, God forbid, there's a weather event. Well, if that were the case, then I would recommend that this council, under the auspices of cost efficiency, revoke Christmas, Good Friday, New Year's Day, Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, and the others. Because if there's a weather event, it costs us anywhere between $18,000 and $20,000. Can we afford that? Yes, we can. The snow event of last week cost approximately $20,000 in resources and manpower. That's a fact. $1,300, ladies and gentlemen, to provide officers on the street on a paid holiday. $1,300. By the time this meeting is over, we'll have spent well in excess of that just debating other issues of the night. Mm-hmm. Alderman Pollack has the floor.
Can you come back to me?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Anyone else? Alderman Vogelsberg?
Thank you, Mayor. If we're just speaking to the amendment,
correct.
I don't think it's fair. It's either a paid holiday or it's nothing. I don't think it's fair to tell people, we think you deserve a holiday, but you are going to have to take a day without pay. I don't think that's fair at all to the staff. So just speaking on the amendment, I would hope that we would defeat the amendment and either vote the holiday up or down. Thank you.
To the amendment, ladies and gentlemen. Anyone in the audience?
You realize that your Florida council might have said the same. Truly good.
If not, I would like to add a few comments, if I may. While I was going to reserve these comments for an up or down vote on the holiday itself, I think it's certainly germane. And if I could ask the council to please be comfortable, because I've got a few things to say. I believe, as Alderman Vogelsberg does, that the cost of doing the right thing pales in comparison to the costs of avoiding doing the right thing. Tonight we have an opportunity to do the right thing, which should have been done long ago, and not be hidden behind the costs as reason not to. Tonight, the city of Geneva is considering whether or not to add the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday as an officially recognized holiday to the city of Geneva in calendar year 2010. Not to be counted as yet another day off, as some contend, but as a day on. A day to encourage ourselves and our constituents to serve their community in a meaningful way, if possible. Just last week, as Alderman Brown so eloquently stated, we had a parade of angels. Some 20 agencies join us and talk about their mission in our communities. Perhaps that is a good target for some of us to lend our time and talent on the holiday that I hope we will support. At the White House Rose Garden on November 2, 1983, then-President Ronald Reagan signed a bill creating a federal holiday to honor Dr. King. It was observed for the first time on January 20, 1986. More than 10 years before President Reagan signed this landmark legislation, our very own state, the state of Illinois, so designated a state holiday in, are you ready for this, 1973. I believe it's time Geneva catches up. In the spirit of self-determination, I believe a positive vote tonight reaffirms Geneva's 2017 strategic plan and its purpose statement. Our preamble, if you will. For those of you at home who may not be aware of Geneva's purpose statement, it is a simple yet powerful phrase. The purpose of the city of Geneva is to advance our well-being and quality of life by honoring our heritage and cultivating a dynamic, engaged, diverse, and sustainable community. This purpose statement serves, or should serve, as a natural spring from which we nourish our guiding principles and strengthen our vision of what we are and what we aspire to be as a community. Honoring the late civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. by declaring January 18, 2010 as an official holiday in the city of Geneva is consistent with our purpose statement, our guiding principles, and our vision. For those who insist on seeking refuge in the dimly lit cave of costs, I offer, as I did before, the following facts. To enact this holiday will cost the city of Geneva and the taxpayers $1,500. Should there be a weather event, as stated earlier, somewhere in between $18,000 and $20,000, depending on the severity of the event. Again, as stated earlier, if costs are the deciding factor, I would entertain another amendment to the motion to recommend that we revoke the holidays on Christmas, Good Friday, Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, or, God forbid, that football holiday, New Year's Day. Perhaps it would be more economical for the City Council to revoke all holidays. I doubt there will be an amendment accordingly. Perhaps most disturbing, but not entirely surprising, throughout this week-long debate is the fact that, and forgive me, bigotry, racism, and unbridled hatred has reared its head. I am referring to the comments made by anonymous cowards who chose to opine on an article appearing in the December 15th, 2009 Daily Herald. Now, let me be very clear. This line of thinking is not present on this city council, and it never has been, and I trust it never will be. And while I defend the right of any man or woman to express their opinions, regardless how venomous they are, I only wish that they had the courage to express their comments without the veil of anonymity that a dummy email address provides. Now, I'm not going to share with all of you some of those comments that I know some of you have read, because I don't believe we should provide a forum for these idiots. However, there is one comment that I think requires a response. The following email message was posted by someone I consider to be an intellectual eunuch. He or she goes by the email moniker of Better Government, who wrote in part the following rant. Remember the names of the City Council dolts who voted for this, and do not re-elect them, including small-time Kevin Burns. Where is the reduction in spending? Where is the reduction in taxes? Where is the fiscal responsibility? We all need to show up at the council meetings and voice our concern, then work actively to remove these amateurs from office. Anyone with me? Doesn't appear to be. For the record, should I, or I trust anyone on this city council, choose to run for re-election in 2011, I wholeheartedly welcome this person's opposition. This person who claims to be better government. It's abundantly clear, sir, madam, that you are uninformed. In response to your query, where is the reduction in spending, let me remind you and all those who think like you that this city council has reduced its general account by some 20%, has frozen salary increases, has sought and seeked and achieved concessions from unions, has furloughed employees, has deferred capital and other expenditures. So in the future, better government, may I suggest that you change your email address to poorly informed. If I've learned anything during my 13 years in public office, I've learned this. People like you, Mr. or Mrs. Better Government, are afraid to emerge from your spider holes and debate the merits of public policy because you can't defend your positions, and you have no interest or ability to participate in civil discourse. So, ladies and gentlemen of the council, I encourage support of enacting the Martin Luther King holiday recommendation so that you and all of us can send a powerful message to those who are hoping you'll vote no, for they and their like-minded colleagues will certainly hijack your votes as endorsement of their frightening viewpoints. And for those of you concerned about the costs, I ask you to consider the hidden costs of not doing this, the cost to our reputation as a community that springs from our purpose statement, our vision, and our goals, and has taken nearly 175 years to develop. Thank you for your attention. Comments to the amendment? Mr. Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the only thing that you left out of your speech was that people that kind of that write those things are also the first ones that have a complete fit when asked to take an unpaid holiday. So I think we're going the right direction here. Maybe we can ramble through this pretty quick and move on. Thank you.
To the amendment, anyone?
Mayor, can I ask one quick question?
Sure.
There are actually two questions. How many full-time non-exempt personnel will be working? The reason I ask is I don't see in the packet where the $1,300 was arrived at.
I'll defer to City Administrator McKittrick. Her and I crunched the numbers late last week.
This would be applicable to those on 24/7 duty, which would be the police department. The others, folks would be employed, or I'm sorry, paid whether or not they're here. So it, that is a wash. Public Works, City Hall, recall also that fire department is union, so this would not apply to them, nor would it apply to electric. So when you're talking about those that are on duty that have to be here, that would be receiving the overtime pay, that would be applicable to our police department at a cost of $1,300. Now, we can assume, you know, as the mayor said, that there's going to be a snowstorm, but if there's one the day before, that will incur overtime. If there's one that evening, that will incur overtime. Last year, they liked to pick the weekends. Every time we had a snow event, it was on a Saturday or Sunday. So that's really hard, I think, to make that assumption and to have a nexus to a dollar figure, because we have to say this is what we know the costs are going to be, and those known costs total $1,300. And I might add that as the budget officer, I looked at the numbers, I talked to the department heads and found out what the impact would be, and then made a determination and discussed it with the mayor, and felt that due to the three positions that we are down in the police department, two officers and a civilian position, that the $1,300 could easily be absorbed. And one of those three positions, the non-officer, the civilian position, is likely to never be filled at this point in time. So the fiscal impact is really not something that would be prohibitive. Thank you.
Mary, thank you for your explanation. I think if this detail had been provided, it would have answered a lot of questions. So, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak to the amendment? Alderman Flanagan?
Just to the amendment?
Correct. Unless the motioner of the amendment wishes to withdraw and the seconder concurs.
I don't know if this is pertinent, but I'll state it, and if it's not,
Chief, you can make sure your gun's prepared if this is not pertinent.
You have to shoot me. I'll cover it. I just wish that, as the last statement of Alderman Pollack, that it had been given us the dollar figure, so to say, because my assumption was totally inaccurate then, in my mind, as to what the cost was. And I wasn't belittling or, you know, making light of the holiday in any fashion. I was looking at the bottom line. So,
understood.
And I thank you very much for clarifying that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else to the amendment? You know, part of our jobs as elected officials is to ask questions, and sometimes the most pointed questions and I think influential questions we can ask are not done on camera. So I'm not stating that this council does it regularly, but there are some who wait for the grandstanding opportunity and fire off these questions. You know, they toss the hand grenade and then complain that they can't see from all the dust that's risen. So everything we do has a fiscal impact, and everything we vote on should be prefaced by what's this going to cost. I respect that. Absolutely. So, to the amendment, anyone else? Does the motioner wish to keep the amendment on the floor?
Don't take this wrong. If it's only $1,300, and $1,300 is a lot of money, and it's just for the PD's overtime, I would respectfully ask the seconder to concur with me and have the motion removed.
I so agree, Mr. Mayor.
The amendment is withdrawn. The main motion's on the floor. The main motion is to enact the Martin Luther King holiday for 2010.
Yes. Call the question.
One moment. Does anyone wish to speak to that main motion? Mr. Singer? Okay. Question's been called.
Singer's down there.
Oh, I know. Mr. Clerk, take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. And again, I would encourage our employees and our citizens and those in the City Council who are charged sometimes with being the role models we sometimes don't want to be, to perhaps use January, that I think it's the third Monday in January or so, as a day on, and perhaps contribute some of your time and talent to helping others. So I know I certainly will be. So.
You have to work.
Pardon me?
That is a problem if you do.
No, I respect that. It doesn't have to be that day. Keep in mind. So service does not last just but one day, but all year long. So hopefully we can find something to do. Item 11B, consider acceptance of the 2009 Strategic Plan Workshop Report.
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion and Singer makes the second. This is, again, just accepting the report. So questions or comments to the report?
Mayor?
Sure.
My thought is that we should have letter C, reconsider prioritization of fiscal year 2010-11 objectives before we accept the report.
These are the minutes. Right, come on, let's hear the mantra.
No,
these
I
are the
understand,
minutes
no,
of
no,
what
I understand
happened.
What Mary prepared. But my thought is it's going to change. We're going to have an addendum to the report.
No.
Yeah, it would actually be a separate report. Whatever we conclude here tonight with respect to prioritization, that'll be a separate report.
Mary, I'm just trying to make your job easier.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah.
So this is just to reflect what transpired in that gray, gloomy, actually it was beautiful and sunny, day in November at the DuPage Airport Authority. Remember when we took that private jet and cruised around?
Jay, I must have
That's a joke.
Across the T's, but I forgot to dot the I.
Dick Hunch flew the thing.
I enjoyed the Chateaubriand.
There is a motion by Marks and a second by Singer. All in favor of item 11B, as in boy. Please indicate by saying no. Correction. You want voice vote sufficient, Mr. City Attorney?
Get some candy that way, didn't you? That's how I was. I didn't vote on these objectives.
Voice vote is sufficient. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 11C, the creme de la creme of tonight's agenda. And the FCC has asked me to advise all those watching at home, please remove all children from the room. And anyone with a weak stomach or heart condition, turn the channel. Reconsider the prioritization of the fiscal year 2010-11 objectives from the strategic plan for 2017. Now, we don't need a motion right now. We don't need a second right now. Let's go through this process and then once we complete it. Mary and I spoke earlier today. I would like to yield the floor to Ms. McKittrick, as she has always conducted, or at least over the last several years, conducted our workshop. I think it's only fair that she conduct this process tonight.
I would like to begin just by making a couple of references to some questions and some comments that I've received over the past week, and then following that I would like to just walk through the process that I'm suggesting that be taken this evening. First, I wanted to point out regarding strategic planning, and for some of our council members, I'm not certain, but the process may be new, particularly in a local government setting. But the question, why do we participate in the annual strategic planning process? Simply put, the strategic planning process identifies where our organization wants to go at some point, where it wants to be in the future, and how it's going to get there. The strategic part of the planning process is the continual attention to current changes in the organization and its external environment, and how this affects the future of the organization. The planning process is at least as important as the planning document, the process that we go through, and it is quite extensive, as you all are aware. And the process is never done. It's always a work in progress. It's a continuous cycle that's becomes part of the management process. There have been questions that have been raised this week by the council that I would like to address for everyone's information. The question has been asked, why is the downtown master planning project not in the strategic plan so that we can vote on it? The downtown planning project is a vehicle or a means that staff suggested as a result of the many downtown-related objectives being a high priority as voted on by the City Council in 2007 and 2008. Staff found a way to include many of the objectives, approximately 22 of them, in one project, which was included in our budget and then put on hold due to funding issues. Also, a question came up about our wish to lay redundant fiber optic on the east side of the river, which we've not been able to do. That's because we've not been able to fund it. The estimated cost is approximately $50,000 at this time. But it's not a life and death situation. It is something that we have discussed from time to time. However, if the line on the east side of the river were to be cut, I want you to have confidence that we would still have connectivity for our emergency dispatch and city staff would still be able to use their cell phones. We would not lose all connectivity in the city of Geneva. Question came up about including the public in the strategic planning process. This is why we invite a SPAC member to participate in the process, because that SPAC member represents the public. That was something that I requested of the council, and the council gave permission and said, yes, this is a good way to do that. We do update and republish the amended strategic plan then every year, post it on the city's website, and print copies in-house and make them available at City Hall for folks to pick up after the amendments have been adopted by the City Council. I believe that there are frustrations on the council for primarily the lack of resources that required us to put projects on hold in last year's budget and required us to not include many projects in this year's budget. In addition, there's a state mandate that's coming down the pike that's going to require us to prioritize the affordable housing goal and the Affordable Housing Act mandates that lie within that, which pushes our other choices to the end of the list. And finally, I think that there is frustration when there's a lack of influence and an ability to get things done in general, again, due to lack of resources. So with that said, I would just like to touch on some of the suggestions as I had laid out. You all should have a hard copy of the strategic plan, the amended strategic plan from last year, 2008. What I had suggested is that at tonight's meeting or prior to tonight's meeting, that each council member make five notations in your document next to five different objectives. Each vote cast should be a written notation made next to a different objective, not next to a vision, and not next to a goal. The notation should be written as vote number one, vote number two, so on and so forth, until you reach vote number five. The notation of your separate votes could be completed, and I did receive one packet from one council member already, but they should be turned in by the end of this meeting or at the mayor's request and preference. Votes cast for visions and goals will not be counted because it's those objectives, those action steps, those tasks that staff needs to attach dollar figures to in order to try to incorporate what we can into this year's budget. I would ask that council members write their name or their initials on the cover of the plan document just to make sure, so that I can make sure that I've received one from everyone, and those will not be distributed, but the aggregate information then would be placed in a report that I would bring back to you on January 4th for your consideration, and then once formally approved by you at that meeting, then department heads could use the prioritized objectives in the development of the budget figures for fiscal year 2010-11. Questions?
Alderman Marks.
Mary, I just have one question. I know when we were at the meeting that day that there was a SPAC representative there that did get a vote. Is SPAC still getting this packet and having a vote for these new, this new method that we're looking at tonight?
There was a request, and I'm sorry, but I don't have the latest information because Stephanie is out this week and she is the liaison to SPAC. But what I had done is basically ask that if the votes, if that person's, the SPAC representative's votes were to change, to please let us know. If not, then they would stand as they were that day.
Okay. That was the first time, if you don't mind, time I actually went through the process, and I did find it very informative until, my problem wasn't with the process, it was more at the end of how that voting took place. And I know that's what's, my little comments and concerns there have caused this brouhaha to grow a little bit, I would imagine. But, you know, the process was very informative. It really, truly was. I mean, to go through the way it was just at the end, and I think we're rectifying that situation with doing this. I would like to see SPAC make sure that they still have a vote, because I think they added a lot to that meeting that day, and I don't even think it matters if it would change. I would like to still have them be able to turn something in and say this is the way that committee felt towards these objectives, because I think that, to me, that is the citizens' input into this whole process, and I think that's very informative, because the citizens, I think everybody needs to remember, it's the citizens who made this process that did the strategic plan, and we were just acting upon it. And I think to still have them have a vote, I think, is important. We've gone through that in the past, and I think that's still something we should consider to continue to do. And even if it doesn't change it, I'd still think they should have the opportunity to come forward with their votes.
I will ensure that we follow up with them.
Okay. That's all my comment. And I appreciate the time and effort that the staff has put into this, because I realize that now this process is taking additional time for the staff after they gave up a whole Saturday to work with us the first time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. It's just as an aside, when Mary and I were putting this together, oh, God, the language about you, Marks.
No, that's all right. How many FOIA requests have you had for the table? Just the last 20 minutes.
No, I think when people are passionate about the remarks, it helps us all do our job better. It's fantastic. So it's good. It's good stuff. Alderman Flanagan, you had your hand up and then you lowered it?
I just wanted to, I was kind of like doing my homework here. Because I kind of put it on a sheet, and I was going to ask if that was sufficient, but I will just transfer it over to here and add the sheet with, if that's all right with Mary.
Is it handwritten or typed? Because your penmanship will be reflected on your ultimate
type,
goal.
Yeah. I don't think I'll get an A, but thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else from the dais? There's no action necessary tonight, really. It's just a codification of the process, if you will, so that perhaps now you'll all receive phone calls during this holiday week from constituents saying, here's what my priority is.
Well, and that's fine. I think the citizens should do that.
Absolutely.
And I think that would be very helpful to all of us.
I agree.
Because, you know, I think we all have different goals and agendas when we look at that. And
that's right.
And that's not a bad process to have more of the citizens' input into this.
Agreed.
because I think we have to realize that when the committee put this together, they did not have budget constraints that we are under now. I mean, that was the goal for them. They did not have to look at the budgets when they put down that vision, which was a different way of doing it, but I mean, they didn't have a budget constraint that now we're dealing with.
And those were specific words during that process. Your vision should not be constrained by dollars and cents.
And now we have to...
Reality comes in here,
and I think that's something that the citizens need to understand also, because I would imagine a lot of citizens put a lot of work into this, and we're going to get questions, why aren't you doing some of this? And the bottom line question is they weren't asked to put dollars and cents to it at that time. Now we are required to do that.
But they certainly do have a role to play in the budget process.
Right.
And, you know, we have 55 chairs here in the room, and we would love to see them all full. As our Comcast representative has her purse in her hand, you're going to leave here shortly. Alderman Brown, then Flanagan, then Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think the one good thing about this process that impressed me was it made me read much closer. When you have to actually read through all the objectives, think very hard about which ones you consider important, and in your own mind order them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you read them much more closely and think a lot more about them. And I hope that other people put as the same kind of effort I did into reading this, and I'm willing to hand mine in right now, and I think the process is a lot better than last year, and I appreciate Mary, excuse me. I knew it might have been unfortunately, but made very close to yours. Mary's efforts, and thank you, and I'm willing to turn it in right now. With a lot more, it appears.
Alderman Brown, you have pizza stains on yours that'll be deducted from the... I was going to make fun of Mark's game. I got to give the guy a break.
I am the one who caused this, so I am fine with it.
Nothing but drips of sweat.
Nothing but drips of sweat. Alderman Flanagan, then Hill.
I just wanted to tell Alderman Marks that I didn't think that he had caused anything. I thought there was a very good reason for us re-evaluating how we do our process. So that's all I wanted to comment on.
Well said. It's not what you said that day, but it was said
tonight. No,
I'm not. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
Those tapes have been erased.
Alderman Hill and Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. My biggest concern is that we didn't seem to have enough time to discuss our preferences on the Saturday activity. And I guess I know I was not prepared to do that. But I think that we ought to consider setting aside more time for this event than just the morning or until just 1 p.m., even though it is a Saturday and many of us have other things to do on Saturdays. And then have an opportunity to lobby for our preferences and fully explain them on that day rather than wait and try to explain them later on. I had a lot of comments about a couple of the of my preferences that I don't want to bore you with now, but I wish I'd had the opportunity to do that on Saturday and had known that there was that opportunity on that very day. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alderman Hill. Alderman Vogelsberg.
Thank you, Mayor. I agree with what Alderman Brown said. It is, I think we all come into the Saturday workshop reading it and having a fair idea, but for me, I've always gone in with more global, like I know what my preference or my priorities are, but it is completely different when you have to pick out the objectives of what you want to do, knowing with the budget process. So I thought this was really good to see exactly what we can do. I was surprised most of mine were things that we're already doing, because that's what I love, everything I love about Geneva, I just want to see maintained. So I thought that was it was a good way to do it. Thank you.
Anyone else to the process itself? Again, no action necessary on this item. It's just a clarification as to how we proceed. And I would assume if we could hold a special meeting maybe this Friday.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
No, it's not a good day?
I would have preferred to not do this excellent exercise December
21st.
Mr. Mayor, I'd waive our fees.
Somebody's birthday, isn't it?
Excellent.
Yeah, I knew I forgot to say something. That's what it was.
Still trying to get into heaven, aren't you, sir? It's too late, baby. With that sweater, you're not getting anywhere.
Oh, yeah. You gotta see these pants.
Consider this my card to you for this week.
Anything else? Otherwise, we'll move on. And please note that Ms. McKittrick and I invited our department heads to join us tonight. And gentlemen, ladies, we know you have a million things to do, but we know that your dedication to this community is second to none. So thank you for being in the audience. Thank you for participating in the process. We appreciate it. So we'll move on. Okay, thank you. Watch the mass exodus. And did everyone hear the sirens coming down the street?
Yeah.
Wasn't that great?
That was great.
That was awesome. Just
we were
awesome.
Too busy listening to you. Actually, I was. I didn't hear it.
Also, motion to censure the audience.
Drowning out sirens.
They woke me up.
If my, let's see. According to my notes, folks, we jump down to item 12A, consider resolution number 2009-75, naming Open Meeting Act and Freedom of Information Act officers for the City of Geneva, Illinois. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Marks makes the motion and Singer makes the second. These officers have been determined, of course, really, by City Administrator, based on not only their extraordinary service already, but because of their wealth of knowledge regarding the process. So, Mr. Brown.
I'm all for this. I just had one simple question. It appears there were two choices here. One was to go with a minimal list, and the other was to go with an inclusive list, and you seem to have chosen inclusive. Is there a reason why all these various people, it'll be helpful to have them all as trained full officers?
We are required by the Act to post those officers on our website. We are required by the Act to list the Open Meetings Act officer and send that into the Attorney General's office. So we listed those positions as well as in the resolution, making it having the city administrator having the ability to include additional staff if need be. So we did build in a little flexibility to that.
Do you expect all these people to actually answer directly to FOIA requests that come in the door? Or I would assume many FOIA requests should pass up the line to more senior management than a number of the people I see on this list. That's why I asked about the difference between a minimal list and an inclusive list.
Our process is that we ask that all FOIA requests come in through the city administrator's office, because we have begun tracking those actually about a year or so ago on a what we call the transfer drive. It's a shared drive by all departments so that all departments can enter the data into the database on the shared drive. For simplicity's sake, we have asked that the FOIA requests do come in through the city administrator's office. However, if they come in through the other offices, what I've asked the department heads to do is to see to it that we receive a copy of it and then go ahead and have their staff enter the data. The reason that we have as many people listed as we have is for backup, so that if we've got one or more employees out sick or on vacation, the FOIA request doesn't sit there, because we have less time than we've ever had before to turn that around and respond to it. So we just wanted to make sure that we had at least two people from each division or department that could pick up and get that work done.
Thank you. It sounds like a reasonable explanation.
I mean, I would comment a little bit further, Mayor. Under this new act, and it is a new act, although they call it an amendment, it is a new act. There's no tolling of the time period if someone's on vacation. It's strictly the only excused days are Saturday and Sunday and holidays. So there's 5 business days otherwise to respond, which starts the day after the request is in. And the preamble to this act clearly states that all, you know, for the most part, all public records are open to the public, with very few exceptions now, and that the requests can come in any form. It doesn't have to be on prescribed forms. So these can come through emails. They can come through on a napkin. for the most part. So it's a whole new world. So I think Mary's decision to expand the list is probably appropriate because of the nature of this new law. Thank you.
Do you want to add to that?
I just wanted to let you know that we are providing additional training through our city attorney to our staff in January, and we're also, you may have recall that I sent you an email, we're going to provide that same training or very similar training to our city council as well, because obviously
and our appointed boards and commissions, is that a consideration? Or
we can do that. We can schedule those if depending on Chuck's schedule, that'd be fine.
This is pretty heady stuff, and
it is.
I mean, we all know that a simple request can not only cause extraordinary resource allocation, but it's, I know, very unnerving for a lot of people as well. So,
well, and as Attorney Ravitch alluded to, the preamble of the act does make this the number one top priority for local governments. Not public safety, not finances. It reads in the act itself that this becomes the top priority for all local governments. So it's very important.
So be sure to email your elected officials in Springfield to thank them for their prioritization. Alderman Singer first, then Pollack.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I direct my question to Mary?
Yes.
Mary, what if for some reason one of our constituents asks us some pertinent information regarding this issue? How do we go about directing their request?
Before or after your training? Just kidding.
I suspect after.
I would be happy to provide you with materials. You may direct them to me or the city attorney, whatever you feel most comfortable with. But again, we will be providing training to city staff and the council. We're going to try for mid-January, and then we'll subsequently set up training for our appointed boards as well. In the meantime, if you'd like to direct folks to me, if they have questions, I'd be more than happy to help them.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Pollack and Flanagan.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, I know this is going to be a very arduous task, but how is the state going to enforce this, and what are the penalties?
There are penalties laid out in the act. Primarily, there are they've created a public access counselor that will oversee the process and make a determination whether or not denials are appropriate or not. So depending on whether the denial is in violation of the act, then we could be fined.
One person? A public access counselor?
Correct.
The entire state?
Yes.
With staff, yeah. There is one public access officer out of the Attorney General's office, but with the staff. And as of a couple weeks ago, they hadn't appointed that person. But I'm not sure whether they have yet, but I'm assured that they will by January 1st.
So.
And the fines, I think, run from $2,500 to $5,000, is my recollection.
So, Mr. Mayor, we don't want you making FOIA requests to the city of Batavia.
That's right.
Anymore.
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 Got to the end of the year to fulfill those.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Foolish question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Were there any funds directed from Springfield to us to cover some of the training?
This is commonly known as an unfunded mandate.
I thought so.
This is commonly known as CYA, political cover, by those in Springfield who needed a positive vote to go back to the constituents and say, I'm fighting for you.
Hmm.
Pure and simple. I don't care if they're Republican, Democrats, or otherwise. They are foolhardy in trying to focus their attention on this issue when communities like Geneva, St. Charles, Batavia, Elburn, you name it, do the right thing all the time. The problem is with Springfield, ladies and gentlemen, not with the city of Geneva or else other communities. We provide open and transparent access to virtually everything. So. But now I'm off my soapbox. Anybody else have any questions? Mr. Brown.
Yes, I'm interested in Ms. McKittrick's answer to Mr. Singer's question, because presumably the staff who are not full named as full officers will find someone in the department who is. The council are not named as full officers, and the only person we report to on the city org chart is the mayor, who is also not listed as a full officer. So to what extent is the city implicated if a constituent comes up to us and believes they have submitted a follower request because they talked to their alderman? I address the question to the city attorney, if you may.
Well, again, even though we cannot prescribe a form for a FOIA request, it does have to be in writing, and emails are considered to be in writing. So a verbal request, we could honor a verbal request if that was our desire, but under the amendment to the ordinance, which I trust you're going to get in the first meeting of January to act upon, it's been laid out that the request shall be in writing. So that's step one, and that's a minimal requirement, quite frankly. So if somebody asks you for something, then I would suggest that you refer them to one of the FOIA officers or to the city administrator's office to get that information. Is that the answer?
Wearing your legal hat, which you always do, if someone presented us with a written FOIA request, would it be your suggestion that we take it ourselves to the city administrator, or we ask them to deliver it to the city administrator?
That's up to you. I mean, it could go either way.
It doesn't affect the date in which the clock starts running.
Well, no, I think that it probably would be the next day, correct, assuming that you didn't get it on a Saturday or Sunday or a holiday, but
That's the same thing for the staff. If the staff receives one, some staff member receives one at 4:30 in the afternoon, and they give it to their boss the next morning, they're the full officer in their department the next morning. Does the clock start the next morning? Or
no, it starts the day the city receives it.
So in some sense, all members of the city staff and all members of the council and the mayor and everyone else are by default full officers, in that the clock starts ticking when you accept the written request.
I mean, the problem is, as I see it, or what one of the problems is the emails. Because an email request can come in and it has to be acted upon. Somebody's going to have to audit the email addresses. So
some of us don't read our email every day. We're out of town, etc.
Yeah, I don't think but it's a FOIA officer that you have to direct it to. So we're not only going to put it on the, and Mary doesn't know this, we're not only going to put it on the website, but it's going to be in the ordinance too as to who the FOIA officers are. So it'll be in a number of places. I would, locations. I would also comment and let you know that there is on the Illinois Attorney General's website, there is a question and answer format that they just put on a few weeks ago that answers a lot of these questions. So I would commend you to that document. It's about 3 pages, but it answers a lot of these questions.
So legally, I'm sure that this has not yet been gone through the court. So these questions, like is it the date on the email or the date the email was read, all these questions will eventually be answered in court, I presume. And at the moment, we should err on the side of caution.
Well, I participated in a seminar a couple of weeks ago with one of the senior assistant attorney generals, who's in charge of this project. And he had as many questions as the audience did about how this was going to be played out. So it's a work in progress, quite frankly, and how it will be administered by the Attorney General's office. Now, they're portraying this as being something that they want to cooperate with municipalities and other units of local government. That public access counselor is available to answer questions from municipalities or units of government. So it does have supposedly that benefit as well.
Thank you.
Ms. McKittrick has some additional information than Alderman Flanagan.
I just had a point of information that I wanted to bring to your attention. Under this act, our email distribution lists are now subject to the requests. And in that respect, we felt that it was only fair to send out an email an alert, if you will, to our folks on our distribution list to let them know that their email may be subject to this. And we immediately lost 200 subscribers. Almost 200 subscribers said, take me off the list.
This was a element of the act that we fought against vigorously. I mean, in theory, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to start a business, you could FOIA the city of Geneva and request all the email addresses and then use those addresses for your own marketing purposes. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. So,
well, this is the...
We become a commercial co-venture.
It is the commercial purpose portion, which is new
right.
to this act, which recognizes that units of government need to respond to certain commercial purpose requests. There's a different time frame for us as a municipality to respond to those requests, but there is an obligation to make a reasonable effort to comply.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may, can I have that website again?
Well, it's the Illinois Attorney General.
Just the Illinois Attorney General?
Or you could hop on il.gov, and then from there,
I'll
click on Attorney General.
Just Attorney General.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And just to clarify, if we don't read our well, I get so many emails, to be honest, and so sometimes one, two, three slip through, not periodically, but you know, once in a while, and so I would really like to know when the clock starts, if it's when they send it, when we receive it.
It's when the FOIA officer is going to get it, quite frankly. So if it comes to you,
and if it gets lost within my email.
I mean, we're going to make it clear that who the FOIA officers are. So.
Okay.
And reserve the day when we're going to talk about this, and it's on the day after Martin Luther King's observed birthday.
Which is?
I think it's the 19th. We'll be meeting the 19th.
Will be the seminar. The 18th would be the holiday.
All right.
So.
We did. Thank you.
Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On our email list, the list of our names and city information, are our home phone numbers on that? They're not there. Okay. Good. And if we have personal email addresses other than the city email, those are not there either. They are there.
If you're using a personal email address to conduct city business, you're not a better government guy? that is FOIA-able. So if you're not, then you have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, that will delay.
I know, like Mr. Piper has, big guy at AOL.com, and he uses that all the time.
That'll now it's out there. Better
yes, Dawn.
I just wanted you to finish your thought.
Sure.
So if we, because you get something from your alderman address, but you really send it back out of your personal address, that is, your whole account is FOIA-able? I'm still beclumped after Alderman Brown said the alderman report to the mayor, so I can't get past that.
That'll be a first for you, I'll tell you that much. That's going to be subject to legal interpretation, but my advice would be, assume that
stop
it is.
Doing it.
Yeah. Assume that it is.
Well, let's remind everybody that an email sent to the city, no matter where it comes from, your
right.
personal account or your kid's personal account, can be FOIA'd.
Exactly.
Because it's in the city email records, including the address it was sent from.
Right.
So the address in the city, goodgovernment.com is now in the city records, and that email is FOIA'able. FOIA'able. We have to invent a new adjective here.
We do. We need a committee for that.
I want to. I don't want to belabor this and give up.
Too late.
But I want you to go back with some good feelings that some of your private information is sacred. There are some per se exceptions that are not discoverable through the FOIA.
person's social security number, driver's license number, employee identification number, biometric identifiers, personal financial information, passwords and other access codes, medical records, home and personal telephone numbers, and personal email addresses. So, private information also includes home addresses, personal license plates, except as otherwise provided by law or when compiled without possibility.
We didn't know what was personal.
And Mary points out, we have a difficult time as a city determining what is a personal email address as opposed to one that is business or one that you want for.
Despite that exception, I think my statement is still true. If I send an email to the city from any one of my own personal email accounts, that is then recorded in the city email archives.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we would
have a difficult time
determining whether it's to be considered a personal email address.
It's safe to assume we live public lives, we're in the public spotlight, everything we do is or will be and can be made public.
Except our biometrics, thank you.
Which I flunked in high school, so I don't know what the hell that means.
Hide and wait, baby.
Can we kill the microphones here, Mr. Kirk?
Kevin, yeah. I'm sorry, Mayor.
Alderman Marks, then Pollack.
Mary, a couple of quick questions, and maybe you don't. Do we have an idea of how much we spend on FOIA requests now, time-wise?
I don't have that figure. I could ballpark it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could look it up and crunch some numbers.
I don't want you to go to that, but my question, my concern would be this, is maybe we might want to start doing this a little bit better under the plan so that, you know, as we start to see what this is really costing the city, we have some hard facts to go back to the people who enacted it and say, you know, rather than taking ballpark, if we could figure out a way to track some of this, because I think this is going to be very, very expensive for the city.
We anticipate that we're going to be spending a lot of staff time, particularly in the police department, on this, which they're the ones that get the most requests anyway.
And that's I think we probably should consider right now, actually, before it all starts, some way of tracking this, because I think that is going to give us something then to go back to our state representatives and say, for the city of Geneva, this is what this is costing us in hard dollars. And did you realize that this is what you passed? Because I don't think this is going to be a small cost.
No,
I really do not, reading this and looking at these questions on the internet, that this is going to eat up a lot of our staff time, especially when you only have 5 days to turn it around. I mean, it's. I have a feeling each department, especially the police, is probably going to have a full-time person doing this most of the time, especially at the police department. Reading this, I mean, it is a scary thought to look at that. I mean, I understand open government to a point. I mean, I don't think we are the ones who have probably hid information. I mean, there's other reasons. But I know, Mary, it's one more thing on your plate, but I think it might be something we may need down the road to say, you know, this is the hard dollar amounts that we're spending on this. And
actually, we have talked about that in the management staff meeting, and I have suggested that. at this point, I haven't directed staff to do that because I know that that's just one more thing on their list of to-dos. But we have talked about posting all of the requests that come in as well on the website so that the public could see who's requesting what.
I just think it's easier to start to put something in place now rather than make catch up. I don't know if the employees that are doing it do time cards or some sort, or if they at the end of the day just have to turn in, I spent 5 hours on FOIA or whatever, but at least that we have some idea of what this is truly going to cost the city.
Well, one way that we had discussed tracking it is the database on the transfer drive that I spoke about.
that we could utilize that to somehow try and, again, give ballpark figures, you know, not minute to minute.
No, I don't need minute to minute, but I think it's a lot better to say that we've at least had a method that we've tried to track this that is reasonable, so that some people are going to come back and say, oh, you're exaggerating these numbers.
It's good old billable hours.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we have discussed that.
although this aspect is not necessarily new law under this act.
Yeah.
First 50 pages of any request, FOIA request that's complied with is free. There's no, you're not charged. The maximum charge that you can assess to someone requesting information is 15 cents per page for 8.5 by 11 or legal size. If it's, and that's black and white only. If it's color pages or after the first 50 pages. However, there's also an exception, and Mr. Board's smiling out there, that if members of the media or not-for-profit organizations request for a waiver of the fees, the government body is to...
I will determine that personally, that. Mr. Lord.
So. Point of information.
Any actor who wants stuff doesn't. Point of information, Mr. Brown?
Mary, you mentioned that the FOIA request itself can be FOIA'd. So FOIA requests are a matter of public record.
Yes.
I think if the people submitting them are told that, that might stem the flow slightly.
And we've experienced that before. We've had companies FOIAing other companies' FOIA requests to see exactly what they're searching because there's a... Well, it's interesting.
It's a waste.
Yeah, it's a waste of time. It's an absolute waste of time.
I strongly suggest that we do look at putting that on the website of who requests.
Absolutely.
I really do. I mean, I think... You know, I think everybody should know who's requesting it because it's the government spending money on that kind of an issue, and they might as well understand where their dollars are going.
Alderman Pollack?
Thank you, Mayor. Alderman Marks, I think you make some excellent points in that it is critical that we document this for our state representatives because I think the cost is going to be far more than we ever dreamed, and the amount of time that we're going to spend, good golly. Early next year, Mr. Radovich, you're going to be able to instruct us on the do's and don'ts regarding emails, correspondence, et cetera, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay.
We have it scheduled, actually, for the second meeting in January. And this FOIA officers and other staff members are going to have a separate training session in mid-January.
Tuesday.
At that time, is there going to be a... I'm presuming there will be someone appointed by the state who perhaps we can invite to the meeting? Well, the reason I ask is because we're being very proactive in doing this.
Right. The Attorney General is charged with providing website training, website information and training. They put some of that on the website already, at least as this question and answer, and plus there's annotated copies of the statute. There's various articles. You can also find information if you're curious about it in the Illinois Municipal League, has under the legal section, has a whole database of information and their position on the new FOIA Act. I'm sure the Illinois Press Association has something as well. So there's lots of sources for this. And as I say, I spoke at a seminar a few weeks ago with one of the senior attorney generals, assistant attorney generals, and they are still working on this.
So suffice to say, it's a work in progress, and Mary, your counterparts, I'm sure, are as overwhelmed as, or will be as overwhelmed as you are. Thank you, and good luck.
Anyone else on item 12A? According to my notes, we have a motion by Marks and a second by Singer to adopt this resolution. Is the voice vote sufficient, Mr. City Attorney?
No, this would be a roll call.
Roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, everyone. Item 13 is new business. Anyone in the audience? Now, we should extend kudos to Mr. Stanton, because we spoke of earlier, Joe, and I don't think you were present at the time. Maybe you were, but I forgot. I apologize. I think it's Private First Class Kastner, who just returned home about, what, an hour ago or so. The signage on the theater marquee welcomes him home. It was Joe Stanton himself, as I understand it, who put those letters up. So that is extraordinary generosity. Thank you, Joe. So, new business for the dais?
I have one. Oh, nope.
No, I know what you're going to say, so I'll let you say it.
Yeah. Oh, no, you say it.
No, you say it.
No, you say it in English, I'll say it.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, good. Okay, don't steal it. You stole the mayor's thunder, now you stole mine?
Point of information.
No.
I didn't sober that pig.
I didn't, Dorothy, I didn't hear what you said.
Nothing. I was just going to say Merry Christmas to all.
Thank you.
Not happy nice. Holidays.
And just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, there is no meeting on the 28th. Of December, so may your Christmas and other holiday celebrations be long and enjoyable. So, with that, I entertain the motion to adjourn.
He will. Nope.
No, she's not done.
Nope.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're not finished.
I thought Alderman Pollack was wanted to say something.
No, I just wanted to hear you say Merry Christmas. So, thank you.
Sorry.
Well, if we're done with the obsequious session of the amendment and the agenda, we can move on. Motion adjourned by Singer.
Yes, sir.
Seconded by, well, Mr. Dantino.
Oh, yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone.
Oh.